recording. Once again, we're in the second epistle of Peter. Second Peter. And we've come to chapter 2 of Second Peter. And in concluding chapter 1, we considered the works that we do as a result of God's lives. It always comes down to that, folks. It always comes down to this, the grace of God for His people. That's what the whole story of Jesus Christ is, isn't it? The fact that He was crucified is grace, is God's grace for you and I. It's His mercy to you and I. It's what we don't deserve. And the one who is gave for us took all that we deserve upon Himself. He who began a good work in us. We are to give diligence, as it says in verse 10 of chapter 1. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Another way you could say that is we are to judge ourselves. Careful how you take that. We do not judge others. We discern the spirit, maybe, but we do not judge others. We do judge ourselves. Are our works somehow adding anything to our standing before God? Are we trusting in anything that we do to warrant our standing before God? Boy, I'll tell you what, it better not. We better not. Give diligence. Give diligence. Where is your faith? Where are you standing? Who do you stand on? Do we desire to do good works? And we do. We do desire to do good works. We keep it before ourselves as a goal out in front of us. But we have no confidence in the flesh. We must be trusting in Christ and in Christ alone as our Savior, as our righteousness, our wisdom. And this is the battle that we must go through on a daily basis. Don't let that good work that you're doing, don't let that thought that, oh, well, I've been helpful. This is why the Bible tells us, folks, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. You know why is that doing? Because it won't take you but 2 seconds to say, see what my left hand is doing in your own mind. This is what, see what I just did? Isn't that good? It's our nature to do that. We have to battle that. We want to put that aside and remember that it is God who has done a good work in us to even have a desire to help the poor, to even have a desire to go out and spread the gospel in the world, to do whatever good you think you might be doing. That's because of my Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone doing a good work in me. That's the battle. We keep it before ourselves as a goal, but we have no confidence in the flesh. We are trusting Christ and Him alone as our Savior, our righteousness. We trust Him as our wisdom. How often do we get on our knees and say, Lord, is this the way I should go? Father, show me. Guide my steps. Give me a sign that this is what you want done. Sometimes He doesn't give us a sign, does He? Sometimes things happen just the way they do, and they're always for His purpose. Always for His purpose. We seek the Lord Jesus Christ for our sanctification, for our holiness. There is no holiness in ourselves, but we are holy, complete, and set apart, sanctified in our Lord and Savior. We trust Him for our redemption. Folks, there's nothing. There is absolutely nothing I can do to add to something that is already perfected. Isn't that what the Lord says in His Word? You are perfected in Him. Well, what more can you do then? John, remember, what more can you do? Give diligence. Do I push myself in the race because He is worthy? Or do I push to make myself worthy? That's the question we each have to ask. Do I do it because He is worthy of me doing it? Because He is worthy of all things? Or am I doing it to make myself worthy to Him? Give diligence to make your calling and election sure is what it says. And I fail miserably. I fail miserably at what I'd like to be, what I try to be. But oh, how thankful I am to my Lord that I have a substitute. One who is perfect in all things that he did. One who is perfect in all things that he does. Not only did he take what I deserve upon himself, not only did he take the wrath of God that I have earned, he gives to me his perfection. He gives to you, each and every one whom his blood was shed on that cross for, he gives to you his perfection. That's the battle we fight in this flesh, to see that we're not doomed because of what we see before us in the flesh. We are blessed in the Lord Jesus Christ for eternity. Eternity. Forever. I am perfect. You are perfect in his perfection, in all things in him. Isn't that what we read about in Ephesians chapter 1? Isn't that what Brother Daniel Parks brought out in Friday night's study here? In him. In his purpose. In his will. In him we are. Now, after Peter has admonished us, you and I, to be diligent about ourselves, he then goes on in chapter 2 to teach us to be diligent with those who teach us. Be diligent with the man who stands here before you. Folks, hold my feet to the fire. Now I ask you, if you've found something or you've heard something you think I have done and said out of place, take me aside and speak to me privately first. But don't let John Reeves or any other man stand in this pulpit and talk something and say something that is against our Lord's word and let him get away with it. It is your responsibility as the hearers of God's word to make sure that that man standing up there doesn't get away with those things. We're just men. We're just men. We're capable of making mistakes and fallible as all men are. Here in chapter 2, we begin in verse 1. I want to read the first half. It says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you." Notice the word "there were." There were. Peter's referring back to before Christ walked this earth. He's talking about the prophets of old. He's bringing out that there has always been false teachers in the world, just as there are right now. Prepared. Men who were ordained, as it says over in the Apostle, as Apostle Jude warns us of over there in his epistle. Men who were ordained. That means that they were prepared. Prepared by who? Prepared by God. Was not Pharaoh raised up? Was he not raised up by God to show his power to the earth? Folks, we believe in a sovereign God. He's not just sovereign over little things. He's sovereign over everything. Everything. I like that. These men were prepared before of old, as it says, purposed by God, just as Pharaoh was raised up. Folks, all things are under the rule of our God. There are no accidents. There are no maybes. Our God works all things for the good to his elect. Is that not what his word says? And yesterday, and the day before that, and the day before that, and the day before that, all the way back to the beginning, was no different than today. Sin corrupts the world. Aren't we thankful for the spotless Lamb of God? Read on the second half of verse 1. Peter, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. We read up on I'm just going to start at the beginning again because I forget where I ended up there. But there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now I want to... Did you catch that word bought? Did everybody catch that? Now before you go letting your mind wander a bit, I want to show you something about that. Turn over to Jude for just a moment. That bought means to be purchased. It's the same U word that is used when we talk about the purchase of the blood of Jesus Christ, but there's a difference between the word Lord that we see here in 2 Peter chapter 2. It says, even denying the Lord that bought them. People have taken that phrase, those who believe that you can lose your salvation, those who believe want to go off and preach the heresy that the power of God's blood was not powerful enough, that there's some who could be lost. Jude, over to the right there, just a couple of pages, just before Revelation. I want to show you something here to show you the difference between this Lord here and the Lord Jesus Christ. And it actually gives us both of these examples of this word. The word Lord in 2 Peter there, that bought them, that word Lord is despotos. Despot, meaning supreme ruler, creator, God of everything. Despotos, this is talking about God the Father. Over in this word bought is a word that is used by the world to turn the God's word into lasciviousness. Now over, if you're over here in Jude, look at verse 3 with me if you would. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort to you that ye should earnestly contend the faith, which was once... Oh, no, wait a minute, I'm not reading the right one. Verse 4, I apologize. We'll just keep on going. Of the faith which was once delivered unto the saints, for there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God. That's the exact same word, our God. Despotes. Despot. I'm not pronouncing it correctly, I know that. So, forgive me. I'm a man. But that's the exact same God there. This is talking about God the Father. God the Father who bought everything there is. Creation belongs to Him. Now, continue on. In that same verse, into lasciviousness and denying what? The only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. That, those two places right there, you see the Lord, Lord. That is the word Kyrios. There are two different Lords that it's talking about. This verse back in 1 Peter or 2 Peter is not talking about the blood of Christ, because the blood of Christ could not lose anything. That would be completely contrary to read the first verse there that brought them, then bring upon themselves swift destruction. The people of God who Jesus Christ bought with His own blood are bought for eternity. Kyrios, Lord. He's the Lord of all. It's speaking of the men of old that were brother, false prophets that were among the people when God bought His people out of Egypt. Did you know He bought His people? He bought His people with plagues. He brought plagues upon Egypt to convince them to let His people go. Frogs and locusts. Blood in the water. The death of the firstborn. This is not speaking. And I wanted to be very, very clear about that. You know, I got to be honest with you. Daniel Parks is the one who pointed that out to me. We were sitting out here on the front lawn. And I was talking about how this is where we're at in scriptures. I hadn't had a chance to do much studying on it yet. And we got it out there. And he says, now don't let that word bought scare you. He goes... That is not contrary to God's word. God Almighty bought the people of Israel with plagues. Jesus Christ bought his people with his blood. That's why there's two different Lords, and I had to point that out to you. I didn't want to go any further before you saw that there's two different words of Lord there. So God the Father bought Israel with plagues from Egypt. God the Son bought with his own blood the children of God, the elect. Now, let's go back to our text in 2 Peter chapter 2, and let's read through verse 3. So we just read about how the Lord bought them, these ones who have been brought in damnable heresies, denying the Lord that bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. So he's talking about the prophets of old, those who were in the days of old, just as they are today, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, their evil ways, by reason of whom the way the truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words, those with false words, make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Now Robert Hawker wrote these words regarding these three verses. He says, we have in this chapter a very awful account of the latter day heresies, but, and that's what we just read about, the latter day heresies. But while the Holy Ghost graciously informs, and that's what Peter is doing here, he's informing you and I to be diligent about, be diligent in making our calling and election sure. He's also talking about being diligent with the teachers and the preachers who stand before you. God the Holy Ghost graciously informs the church of those seasons, those times, and he graciously teaches the church how to discern their features and discover them from the faithful. How do I know that man is standing before me is faithful? The most simplest way to know that is he talking about the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, or is he talking about the power of man? So let's consider five things quickly if we could. There are false teachers and preachers in the Christian church today, just as there has always been false preachers and teachers and prophets among the Jews and God's people. Look over, if you would, at let's start with Deuteronomy 13 and read five verses over there. Deuteronomy, over in the beginning. Deuteronomy chapter 13. And we read in Deuteronomy chapter 13, beginning at verse 1, Deuteronomy 13. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, wherefore he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet. If you go to a church today, in today's world, if you were to go to some church, say you're going there for some funeral, maybe you're traveling on vacation and you say, oh, you know what, look at that, there's a Grace church. You say Grace, it says Grace right there on the banner right above it. Kathy and I have done this over in Fort Bragg, I think it was, wasn't it? We went to a church over there once. We walk in there and the very first thing we see are heresies in their pamphlet, things that go against God's world. If you'll make a decision, so we got up and walked out. Thou shalt not hearken, it says in verse 3, unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Now, let's look at another one. Turn to the right to Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23, just past Isaiah. Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23, we read these words, beginning at verse 16, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts." Jeremiah 23, verse 16, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart." The heart of men. Remember what I mentioned a minute ago. How do you decide? How can you decide? How can you tell, judging that man who's standing in the pulpit, is he talking about the power of God and his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, or is he talking about the power of man? "Hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not of the mouth of the Lord. They say still on them that despise me, the Lord hath said, and ye shall have peace. And they say unto everyone that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you." You know what the imagination of your own heart is? That's a Jesus who has no power. That's a Jesus who's waiting for you to do something. Whether it be getting baptized, going to church on Saturday, Sunday, walking the aisle, whatever it might be, your imagination can come up with all kinds of other Jesuses. Now let's look at one more, if you would. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Now, let's see, where am I at there? Thessalonians, Hebrews. Too far. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And let's read the first four verses of 2 Timothy chapter 4. No, I'm not going to check out who this is, but I am going to turn it down so it doesn't do that again. I apologize. I should know to check my own phone before I come up here, before I come in here. Sorry about that. 2 Timothy chapter 4, we read in the first four verses, we're talking about there are false teachers and preachers in the Christian church today, just as there has always been false prophets in God's church. "I charge thee," it says in verse 1, telling Timothy, Paul writing to Timothy, "I charge thee, I encourage you, I give you this instruction. Therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Be ready to preach whenever God opens the door for us out of season. Reprove and rebuke and exhort all longsuffering in the doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned to fables." That's fiction. Secondly, false teachers bring in doctrines that are contrary to the scriptures, even denying the person and the work of Christ our Lord, as we read in the book of Jude. All true teachers or preachers will give Christ his proper place and glory in the message. And all false preachers and heresies deny in some way or another the redemptive work of Christ. Look over at 1 John. That's over to the right of 1 Peter there. To the left of 1 Peter. No, I was right. 1 Peter, then 2 Peter, then 1 John. Look over at 1 John chapter 1. The difference between a true preacher and a false preacher is easy to tell when you're a child of God and you're looking for Christ and Him alone. 1 John chapter 4, we read these words in verse 1 through 3. "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come into the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not..." And this one, Jesus Christ, this is that Lord that we were talking about a moment ago. Kyrios, Lord of all, Lord with power, spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come into the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus is come into the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of the Antichrist, wherefore ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Folks, we are to weigh all the preaching in the light of Christ. Weigh it in the light of his eternal sonship, in his humanity, in his sovereignty, in his surety, in his perfect righteousness, in his effectual sacrifice, in his priestly work, and his intercession for us. Weigh it in the preacher's explanation or declaration of his exaltation, his second coming. All false preachers will either deny or they will diminish in some way Christ as the just and the justifier. Thirdly, these false teachers are motivated by covetousness. You ever watch that show on Sunday morning? You ever skipping through channels and you see that guy with obviously dyed hair? He's got to be 80 years old by now, and his mustache is still as dark as it was when he was 20, I'll bet you. And he's up there, if you'll just send me your $10. Isn't it amazing people still fall for that? You know, Daniel and I were talking about that. We were talking about the possibility of going to TV. Just to share with you folks, Gabe Stonaker knows a couple of people over in Virginia who are really, really good about finding niches in the TV stations that they give away for free or for a low cost. And they're going to start looking into our area to see if there's a possibility we can get on TV in our area on one of the local channels. And I told him, we both agreed on this. It just doesn't seem to be that effectual. Nobody really watches TV anymore. Nobody really watches it. But we were talking about that very thing, how this guy still attracts people and they still give him money. This, don't tell me that guy's not up there doing it just to get money. Covetousness, make more money for his church. Give me your $10. Their glory is not in the glory of God, nor in the good of the church, but in their own gain. That man who flies around in his own private jet, Joel, whatever his name is.
Olstein,
yeah. I've never heard him. I've never even wanted to listen to him, but Lance Heller shared with me one time. He says, did you watch that interview he had with one of those big people on Channel 3, NBC? He says, man, he spent 30 minutes on TV, 30 minutes talking to millions of people tuned into it. And not once did he mention the glory of Christ. Not once! It was all about what you can do for yourself and how you can become a better person if you'll just do this. It had nothing to do with Christ. False teachers are motivated by covetousness for their own glory and their own personal satisfaction, not knowing or loving Christ Jesus. They can never lose themselves, deny themselves, or take up their cross and follow him. Fourthly, these false teachers, their ways of deception are this: privately, that is, that they come in secretly under the disguise of righteousness, gradually, little by little, under pretense of truth, introducing their heresy. Most of these are works religionists. There were a bunch of them called Judaizers. Oh, yes, you can believe in Jesus, but you must do this. There's also this to do over here. If you don't do that, you don't believe Jesus. If you don't get circumcised, is what it was back in the days of the Jews. If you don't walk the aisle and make a decision for Christ, is what it is today. If you don't get in the waters of baptism, is what it is today. It's still the same thing. And they come in and they do it in the pretense of truth, introducing their heresy. Another way is with feigned words, with false words of their own choosing. cunning arguments. You ever been around somebody who wants to argue with you? Oh, what do you think of this? What about this? What about this part of Scripture over here where the Lord says He bought them? Let's argue about that. Or flattering words which have men's persons in that. You could do so much better with yourself. You could be such a better person. All the good that you could do with your riches. These men come in for they don't care for you or your eternal welfare. Yesterday a man talked to me about how we could get more people into this church right here. You know, if you had a band up there, you might be able to get more people into your church.
You got a gun? You could get more people in here.
We have guns. I don't know that would work very well, James. If we could get more people into this church by ways other than preaching Christ. There's plenty of churches around this very place right here that you can go to where they have all that stuff, but they don't have Christ. Fifthly, these false teachers are usually successful because many shall follow their corrupt worldly ways. It says in Scripture, the road of error and religious idolatry is a broad way in which many walk. Look over at Matthew chapter 7, if you would. We're almost done. Matthew chapter 7. One more and we'll wrap it up. Matthew chapter 7. And we read these words in verse 22. Matthew chapter 27, our Lord speaking, says these words. Let's begin in verse 21. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wondrous and wonderful works? Many of these false teachers will come with what they do and not what the Lord does. And then lastly, these false teachers with their followers are moving toward a swift destruction. Their heresies are damnable, for they will lead to certain damnation and destruction. God's judgments are not asleep. Is it any wonder that we've seen the fall away of God's blessings upon this country? Look where the religion has taken the people of this country. God's judgments are not asleep, and their foot shall slide in due time. Amen. Next week we'll come back to our text again and pick it up in chapter 2, verse 4.